we are loved by God.
Come and sit down in the middle of our mess and love us and help us learn to be at home with you. And that's what our scripture is about. A man so filled with the Spirit of God that he saw Jesus' birth and suffering and death and resurrection more than 700 years before it happened. That's what Isaiah 53 is all about. But elsewhere in Isaiah as well, it's very clear. But that's not all that he saw. This is what's so amazing about Isaiah. He saw all the way through to the end by the Spirit of God at work within him. He saw all the way through the end of history when God's kingdom is consummated and the New Jerusalem is established here on earth. That's an amazing thing. I mean, he leapfrogs over us and sees that reality in human history. And only God can open our eyes to things like that. But this is what his Spirit does. He opens our eyes to things that we have never seen before, never known before, that were there all along. We just didn't get it until the Spirit of God met us in an unexpected place. So let's go there. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. Remember that Jerusalem is located on a higher elevation. And so that's why this begins with, "On this mountain," meaning Jerusalem, "the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations." Here it comes. "He will swallow up death forever." Isaiah even sees the resurrection and what its implications are for those who believe. "The sovereign Lord will," and if this sounds like the Revelation, listen, "wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken." In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Oh, to be there. To be there. In that place, that day. To be in the new earth, made perfect by God, to be sitting at the banquet table. The most incredible group of people, the most amazing feast you've ever tasted. Sin gone, death wiped away, no pain in your body, everything about you perfect, the way it was meant to be all along. The way that you felt maybe for a day or two in your absolute prime, but only better. And that's only the beginning. Because the reason you're there is seated right there among his dear ones at the banquet table. And the Lord who loves us and gave himself for us, just seeing him will be the best reward, the best banquet of all. Can you see it? It's hard, I know, but can you see it? Can you try? Can you see him? Lord, help us to see you, to see this. Just yesterday, I was speaking with a pastor who had a family in his congregation whose four-year-old son had died. Dad was an MD, is an MD. They have four kids. And they were at a friend's house. They had been at a little league gathering. It was kind of the end of the year thing. And everybody went to a friend's house for the party. And all of a sudden, as the party is going on, the mom gets this feeling that only a mom can know. Where's Jacob? Well, he's out there, you know. No, where's Jacob? So they start to look for him. And 15 minutes later, they find him at the bottom of the swimming pool. And the dad administers CPR, but he's gone. His body is already lost temperature. He knows. And the ambulance comes, and they can't revive him, and they take him away, and there are two other dads there, and they ask if they can go to the hospital with him and just be there with him. And he says, yeah. And as they get there, they ask him, can we pray with you? And he just feels, yes. And he's a doc. They get him a room. They go into the room and they pray. The ambulance couldn't revive the boy. The boy's brought to the hospital, DOA. And you see this coming while they're in the room praying. Life comes back into his body. And he's in a coma. He's in a coma for a few days, but the mom is doing her vigil by his bedside, and all of a sudden, hi, Mom. And she thought he was going to be brain damaged because of the oxygen loss. But he was fine. And then he starts to tell them where he's been. And he describes heaven. And he starts to talk about things that you see in the Revelation. And you've got to understand, you don't teach the Revelation to four-year-olds in Sunday school. They don't know about it. But he starts to say things like, Uncle Billy was there, and they were concerned about Uncle Billy. Was he going to, you know? And that set her heart at ease. Her brother, she loves him. And then he says, and the streets are clear. And they think, well, wait a minute, that can't be right. I mean, the streets are gold. until you get to Revelation 21:21, which reads, "The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass." Sounds like Clear Straits to me. And the pastor tells me that this four-year-old knew things about heaven that four-year-olds don't know. But he did. And so when Isaiah describes a banquet in the New Jerusalem and God wiping away every tear, and he backs it up with these emphatic words, verse 8, "The Lord has spoken." In other words, underline it. I look at that and I think, not difficult for God to show him that at all. But there's a question as I look at this, and as you and I ponder it, and as I preach on it, and try to be real while I'm doing this, and the question is, am I ready for it? Am I looking forward to it as much as I should be? And I have to tell you honestly, no. Because I love life, and I love the good things of this earth that we've, you know, that have been created for our enjoyment, and yet I was made for more. The longing of my soul goes there. That's the longing of our souls as created beings goes there. This earth ultimately never satisfies. That's why so often people who have everything, it's almost cliche, by the way, the lives come clattering down in these cataclysmic collapses. Because this world was not enough. So am I ready for it? Is my heart there? Because Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." And so that's part of why I wanted to preach on this passage this week, because I want us, are our hearts there? Do we see? Are we learning to see more the things of the Spirit of God and to long for them more? Paul tells those who have come to Jesus in Colossians 3:3 very directly, "You died. And your lives are now hidden with Christ in God." So part of me is already in heaven with him. That's why no one can pluck me out of his hand. He's got me. But am I living with that hope? And am I going there more and more and living with more trust in him? Because he is worth living for. And I was made for this. And you were made for this. So Isaiah lived in the southern kingdom of Judah after Israel had been divided into two countries, and invasion threatened while he lived. And the northern kingdom, with Judah's the southern kingdom where Isaiah lives, but the northern kingdom is invaded by Assyria, and Assyria is on the ascent, and they're surrounding then the southern kingdom and Jerusalem, and there's this place where I'll mention some of that in a moment, but Isaiah, in the midst of all of this turmoil in his country is trying to persuade his people, turn to God and keep your eyes on him. Put your hope in him. Because one day, all of this is going to be over. What you see right now that seems like it is going to be everything, it's not. There's more. And what he does is he looks way ahead to people who are looking back and saying, I trusted God, and I'm so glad I did. And I think as we look at this passage this morning, that's a good place for us to go. Am I there, increasingly, trusting him so that one day I can say, yeah, I'm glad. I'm so glad I did. My friend, Dr. Tom Pittman, is another pastor, author in our presbytery. And he spoke at our meeting yesterday morning. And he told us about a member of his church who came up to him after the service and said, I need to talk to you. And he mentioned how when that happens to a pastor, sometimes you think, not knowing what the man would say. But the man sat him down, and Tom hasn't been at the church long, and he asked him, has anyone told you about me, about my story? Tom says, no. And man's an older man, but he went on to tell him about how his heart had stopped and he had died and he was rushed to the ER and they could not revive him. And he coded. They called his time of death. They turned away. And when he revived a few minutes later, breath in, they're shocked. And he told my friend Tom, when I died, I found myself in heaven, and the angels led me to a room where Jesus was. And then he said this, he had his back to me the entire time. And finally he said something. He said, take him away. He doesn't know me well enough yet. And at this point, and this is a true story, the man becomes emphatic and he says to Tom, let me tell you something. I never want to go through that again. And then he looks at him and he says, never, never, never stop preaching Jesus and our need to know him. It's not that his salvation wasn't secure. It was. But his relationship with Jesus wasn't where it needed to be. And I know this is anecdotal. I understand that. But it's interesting. You look at the history of the church and you find, I mean, I can show you from the writings of John Newton, or Jonathan Edwards, deathbed experiences of people who see things that are there. But the truth is, the truth of heaven turns earth on its head. And you and I are so tied to this earth that we can easily think that this is what, I mean, this stuff that we can grasp and touch and see and hear and feel and sense, that this is what matters more than anything else. But according to the Word of God in Isaiah, in the Revelation, nothing matters more than being with God forever. And we're either prepared for that or we're not. There's nothing in that man's testimony that contradicts anything that I know of in Scripture. You and I are meant for this eternal hope. And again, the question becomes, are we going there? You know? Is that the direction our lives are moving? And honestly, maybe more some days than in others. But can you see yourself at that meeting, not just with Uncle Bob and Aunt Jane, but with Jesus? Can you see, how is that relationship? Because it's a relationship, just like you and I interact with each other and sensitively, I hope on a good day, you know, are going to be reading, all right, how are things? How are we doing? Are we okay? Are we loving each other? We know the response from Jesus then. But do I know him well enough so that it's like, yeah, yeah. This real person who came because he loves me, who came so that I could know him. And again, keep in mind what he said. We've talked about it before. But in John, he points out, it's good for you that I go away, so that he could give us his Spirit, so that we could actually know him better through his Spirit. And he said that he would show us things. The Spirit would reveal truth to us. So he'll show us himself. Sometimes there will be times where we wonder where God is. I mean, that certainly, think about Isaiah's life. And invasion threatening, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And there's this point where Assyria surrounds Jerusalem, where Isaiah is, and they lay siege, and they write out all of these scrolls, and the king Hezekiah, who's a good king, thank God for them in that instance, Lord, give us good leaders, takes the scroll and goes to the temple and spreads it out before God. And then God, through his Spirit, speaks to whom? The prophet Isaiah, who goes back to Hezekiah and with these words, because you prayed. Now, could we stop right there? Because there's a whole sermon. Some of you have heard that sermon before. But sincerely, because you prayed. In other words, the whole panoply of history would have been different if he hadn't. Because God is fully able to do that. Because you prayed. About Sennacherib, king of Assyria, the Lord has spoken this word against him. because you prayed. I know our tendency is to make the times we pray and it doesn't happen the norm in our thinking about prayer and assessing its worth. Oh, tried it, didn't work that time, must not work. But the Word of God is because you prayed. The Word of God is ask, seek, knock, in the present active imperative in the original language, which means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And as you and I keep on looking, keep on being in that place of, Lord, help me, to see what you would have me see in your word, in the world around me, and most of all, in the eternity, the eternal now in which you live, the things that you would have me see. Remember Isaiah 25:9 as we wrap this up. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in our salvation. You see the emphasis in that verse, right? Trust. He is faithful. Trust. He will get you there. Trust. And you will praise him for it. Trust. When you cannot see, trust him. Believe. Look forward to him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your heart with him. And you will never regret it. Ever. May we pray. Lord, may our eyes be where they need to be. May our hearts, may the treasure of our hearts truly be with you in heaven. Lord, I know I need your help with this. I know I'm not alone. Help us in this. And maybe there's someone here this morning thinking, I want that. I'm drawn to that. I can't understand it all, but yes, I want him in my life. Just come to him. Just tell him that. Ask him for help. Place your faith in what he did for you at the cross. Trust him. And he will meet you. And you will be so blessed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love. Beautiful Savior, you can only really write that unless you've seen him. You know, Scripture says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know Christ, that you may see him, basically. So, Father, I do pray that. Open our eyes to see you more. Our beautiful Savior, Holy Spirit, thank you. Even though this jars us in some ways to realize, oh, gosh, I guess I'm not going to be here forever after all. Thank you, Lord, for the hope, incredible hope that you give. Thank you for the beauty of the resurrection. Thank you for the beauty of the banquet. New heaven, new earth. And that you're going to be the best thing about it. There will be nothing better. That will be heaven. And the Lamb will be its light. So help us to see in your light, to live in it, and to share it with others as we go forth. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. I have a personal prayer request.